Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. And that, of course, is taking me out to the ballgame. And it is playoff time. Postseason has begun, and the Cubs are a part of it. They could wrap up this series today if they can beat the Nats. Big game yesterday, exciting game and crazy game. And also big sports. Yesterday was a big sports day in general for Chicago. I mean, the Hawks and the Bears all played, and we thought it would be a nice time to have Michael Osaki join us. He is the founder of Baseball in the Attic. BaseballintheAttic.com is the website. He is an appraiser and a collector. And if you have some sports memorabilia laying around, you're wondering perhaps what it's worth, Michael will be able to help you out. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. Let's Michael back to the show. Welcome back, Mike.
Thanks, Nick.
How
are
you?
It's great to be here. I'm doing wonderful. Go Cubs.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that game yesterday was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. So first of all, tell everybody about, you know, how this all started for you. You know, a shoebox full of baseball cards.
Yeah, that's right, Nick. 20 years ago for my birthday, my grandfather got me a shoebox full of very old baseball cards. Mm-hmm. And he did that because he saw at that time, as a youngster, I was jumping on my bicycle, but I was buying all the new stuff, all the modern packs, baseball, football, basketball cards. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to surprise me and get me something new. And, yeah, those cards inside were very old, cards I'd never seen before, and it got me hooked.
Mm-hmm. And you've been collecting ever since and appraising for a long time now. And baseballintheattic.com as well. How long has the website been around?
A little over 10 years.
10 years. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that.
10 years. Thank you. And I got a new website designed 3 years ago, and I'm redoing it again. So I think by January 1, I'll have a new website.
You have a new website updated and all kinds of cool
stuff.
But people go to the website. What do they see and what can they do?
Yeah, they can see some images of different items that I have in my own personal possession. There's a couple images of me with some athletes, including one from, I think, 1994, myself and Walter Payton. Mm-hmm. He was the first professional athlete that I ever met, and he was a great guy, super nice. And there's a link to contact me if you have any cards or memorabilia that you want to have appraised, or if you want to sell something, or just ask me any questions. And then I also include some links to a lot of the articles that I write for Parade Magazine, Covell's, Kiplinger's, or American Legion Magazine.
Right. Okay, cool. So make sure you check out baseballintheattic.com. And again, you can call us right now at 312-981-7200. I do want to preface this by saying it's better if Michael can actually see the item, but if you can describe it to us and tell us what it is, he can give you a ballpark figure, no pun intended, on what it's worth. But it's always best for you to see the item itself.
Always, yes. Pictures say 1,000 words.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll take any sports memorabilia that you have, and we'll help you out if we can. 312-981-7200. You were recently interviewed for Forbes. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Forbes. They called me and they asked me a couple questions, and I hung up the phone, and you know, I went about my daily business, and then I saw a couple weeks later, people started calling and emailing me. In the article, it said that I am the dean of Cracker Jack baseball cards.
And that's what he called you, the dean of Cracker Jack baseball cards.
That's what it said in the Forbes article, and I was pleasantly surprised. I'll take the compliment. It is interesting. If people have Cracker Jack baseball cards, whatever it is, people always seem to call me first. And these
explain what Cracker Jack baseball cards are.
Yeah, so most of us are familiar with Cracker Jacks. You go to the ballpark, you get your Cracker Jacks. And for many years, you would get a little trinket or a little gift inside each package.
Yeah, a little toy inside.
A little toy. Yeah, a little nothing. The most valuable prizes, though, are baseball cards. They were issued for only 2 years, 1914 and 1915. And usually when I see them, they have that caramel stain because they're inside the box under the front of the back.
Right.
And I've become a nationally known expert as it relates to these specific Cracker Jack baseball.
So the 1914 and 1915 seasons.
Yes.
And how many cards were there issued?
In 1914, there were 144 cards.
Wow.
In 1915, 176. And the 1914 cards are much, much, much more valuable for one reason only. The method of distribution, Nick. The only way to get the cards in 1914 was to actually go to the five and dime store, open up your package, and you would get one inside. That changed in 1915. You could still do that. However, you could also put some money in the mail and mail away for these cards. So because there were two methods of distribution in 1915, the 1914 are much more.
Exactly. Now, where do these pop up?
Usually I see them on the East Coast. Cracker Jack had a factory in Brooklyn, but they also were manufactured here in Chicago as well.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. But are there a lot of them in circulation, or are they hard to come by?
They're hard to come by.
Yeah, I mean, 1914, 1915, you know, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. And because they were inserted in the candy, the caramel, people just threw them away. They saw these things as a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Let me just eat.
Yeah. What approximately is like the 1914 worth? If they're in like decent condition, whatever kind of decent condition you can have with caramel coated stuff from 1914.
Sure. So some of the more valuable cards in the set would be the Christy Mathewson or the Shoeless Joe Jackson,
mm-hmm.
and those cards are worth anywhere from $1,000 each to $30,000-$40,000
each. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. And are there any that are out there that people like that collectors have that they've been documented?
Yes, there are. Normally, they're in weak condition,
mm-hmm.
not that strong condition, but just to have any card from Cracker Jack from 1914 to 1915 is pretty remarkable and pretty exciting.
Did the cards have stats on them as well?
They didn't have stats.
No.
However, there is writing on the back. It'll have their name. It'll give you a little biography about the player.
Yeah, and then a picture.
And then the picture
on the
front.
And then the picture on the front.
Exactly.
And how big are they? They're small, right?
They're small cards.
Yeah. I mean, they're smaller than the baseball cards that you normally get.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, because they have to fit inside the Cracker Jack box.
Right.
So, well, that's fascinating stuff. Anyway, is that Forbes magazine linked up on your Facebook page?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So check it out on the Facebook page at Baseball Attic and also baseballinTheAttic.com. Our text and phone, we got some texts coming in already.
Oh, great.
We got some calls coming in already, but we have to break for the news. So it's 312-981-7200. Michael Osaki joins us again to talk about your sports memorabilia and anything else that we were going to talk about. And you're traveling, too. You're going to go to upstate New York in November.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yep,
we'll talk about
cool.
that after the after we take a break for the news. Again, 312-981-7200. Talk, text. Oh, and the 2 for Tuesday request, too. They'll be doing that later. And baseballintheattic.com. Michael will appraise some of your sports memorabilia after we take a break for the news, which is up next here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio. You know, that's one of the best. That's one of the most inspiring sports team songs ever. You know, my favorite is "Here Come the Hawks." I think that's the greatest. That's the greatest sports team song of all time. "Here Come the Hawks." A little piece of trivia: Michael Osaki, who is the founder of BaseballInTheAttic.com, and will appraise your sports memorabilia. 312-981-7200. You know who composed "Here Come the Hawks"?
No.
Richard Marx's dad. Richard Marx, the 80s pop star.
Yeah, sure.
His dad, Dick Marx, wrote that song.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah, yep. Yep.
I think Richard Marx still lives in the area, the Chicagoland area.
I think he does. I think you're right. He does.
Actually, he used to go to the same gym. Steve Bertrand, the newsman, used to work out with Richard Marx.
Used to work
actually.
Out with Richard
he
Marx.
Knew him personally, yeah.
There you go. All right. All right, Michael Osaki is here and founder of BaseballInTheAttic.com. We've got a bunch of texts and calls coming in.
Oh, great.
So you want to help some people out?
Let's jump in.
All right, here's Jim on WGN. Hey, Jim.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got actually three items. Now that I think about it, I've got a signed photograph of Babe Ruth, has to be from the 20s, and also the same thing of Mel Ott swinging a baseball bat. And then I also have a 1949 signed baseball, the 1949 New York Giants baseball team, and it's in a porcelain glove that's got a New York Giants stamp on it.
Okay. Any idea?
Okay. Three items. Babe Ruth signed photograph, minimum $2,000. Mel Ott signed photograph. Interesting, Nick. Mel Ott, he very rarely signed baseball.
Oh, is that right?
In this particular case, he signed a photograph. The only time he would sign a baseball is if it was team signed. And a single signed Mel Ott baseball today is worth tens of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
Because you just never see him. But, Jim, to answer your question, about $750, and the 49 New York Giants team sign baseball. Leo DeRocher is the manager. Hopefully he's on the sweet spot there. You're looking at $700.
Yeah, around that. Around that.
Terrific.
All right, Jim. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Now, let's talk a little bit about signatures. And when you can tell if something is authentic or not. Like, he's got this Babe Ruth signed photo. There is a chance that that might not be Babe Ruth's signature.
Yeah, and according to Forbes magazine from a few years ago, they said that over 75% of all total known sports autographs are fake.
75%
are fake. That means only 25% are real. And personally, Nick, I don't know what that number should be, but it is definitely over 50%. And Babe Ruth is on my top 10 list of most forged autographs.
Right.
Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is a huge one.
Okay. People got to be out, you know, have to look out for that kind of stuff. How does that get authenticized then? How does somebody authenticate that?
Yeah, the way that authenticators will say if something is real or not is they will use prior exemplars of what they deem to be authentic, and they'll
compare it.
And they'll compare your item.
Yeah.
They'll look at pen pressure and slant flow and spacing between the letters, height. All these different characteristics go into making an accurate determination of if something is real or not.
Okay. Keep that in mind, everybody. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Russ sent in a text, and he says, I have a baseball signed by A.J. Pierzynski and a signed poster by him of the team celebrating their win of the 2005 World Series. Both are authenticated. What are they worth?
A.J. Pierzynski signed baseball, $25. And the photo, is it just signed by him?
It's a poster signed by him but features the entire team celebrating the 2005 win.
Got it. That would be $40.
Like $40. Okay. 847 area code, speaking of Walter Payton, as we were, a Walter Payton game jersey. It's framed, signed, and in perfect condition with authentication papers.
You very rarely see a Walter Payton game-used jersey. I'm very curious. So this person that texted, please reach out to me via email or call me later. But because a game-used signed Walter Payton jersey is worth thousands of dollars.
Yeah. If it's a game-used jersey.
If it's a game-used jersey.
Right.
If it's not game-used but signed, you're looking at $800.
Okay. Wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
For is Walter Payton, is he really high in the market area in terms of his stuff?
Yeah, you know, he was so popular. He died at such a young age. And the way he went about his business, not only on the field but off the field, people still genuinely like him.
Well, look at this on the phone lines. Here's Mike on WGN. Hey, go ahead, Mike.
Hey, yeah, I was saying I have a couple things. I have a signed helmet, a Rydell, you know, an authentic Bears helmet signed by Mike Ditka.
Okay.
And I have a autograph of Walter Payton on the back of a bowling score sheet on Woodfield Lane. It was his first or second year bowling, and my wife was bowling next to him. He died in the back of the score sheet where you keep your bowling score at.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. All right, what do you think, Michael?
That's the
second one with the bowling sheet is probably not worth a lot of money. It's because it's a personal thing. It's a bowling sheet, you know.
Sure, but. It's signed by Walter Payton, so that's still, my opinion is $150 to $200.
Oh, wow. Okay. That. All right. And then the helmet?
The Mike Ditka signed helmet, $125 to $150.
How it's not hard to, you know, I mean, I'm just imagining that, especially in this city, that, you know, tons of people have Ditka's autograph.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the thing. He appears now every week on Steve Cochran's show here to talk about Bears.
Does he really?
Yes, sir.
But don't forget, it still costs you money to actually buy the helmet. So
yeah.
That's all and signature. So, yeah, about $125.
$125, okay. All right, Mike, thanks. Jane in Evanston says, I have an official 1994 World Series baseball. There was no World Series that year. Is it worth anything?
Right, that was the year of the strike.
Yes.
And that actually turned a lot of people away from watching baseball.
That's why everybody started juicing and tightening up the balls and getting home runs. And then 98, everybody came back.
Yeah, that's right. And being here in Chicago, a lot of people thought the White Sox were going to do really well in 94.
That was the feeling, was that the Sox could have gone all the way that year.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Sox fans were very angry. Well, all baseball fans were angry that year.
Yeah.
I was furious that happened. That's no World Series. How can you not have a World Series?
It's ridiculous.
Completely. Now, was a ball 1994 World Series worth anything?
It's what we call a phantom baseball. Phantom because it never actually happened. It never existed. But the baseball is still worth $20.
Okay. That's interesting. Randy says, my sister had a framed Jordan jersey from the season they went 72-10. It was a rare black jersey. They wore only a few times that year. It is game worn, and in glass, and it's signed by the entire team. Wow.
Oh, that's an interesting piece. Wow. Yeah, that's definitely different. And everything the texter says is true. You're looking at $1,500.
Wow. Wow, that's a great item right there.
Yeah.
Let's see. Trucker Rich says, I have a door-sized poster of Jim McMahon dressed as General MacArthur with the tagline, I'll be back. It's still in the shipping tube, so it doesn't have anywhere tear. Is it worth anything?
I hope this texter takes a picture and posts it on my Facebook page or somewhere. I feel like this should be, like, looked at.
I've seen this poster. I remember when they...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Do you remember the poster? Well, first of all, tell them what it might be worth, if it's worth anything. It's still in the tube, so it's in good shape.
Yeah,
so, you know.
I'm going to say $30.
Okay, $30, Trucker Rich. I don't know if you remember this poster from the, let's say, 86 or 87 of Ryne Sandberg. And it's one of the worst sports posters I've ever seen in my life. First of all, Rhino was sporting an unnecessary and very unattractive mustache, which he never had. He was always clean shaven, but for some reason he had this really bad sort of porn mustache. And it's jungle themed, because of course his nickname is Rhino, so they had him dressed up like in safari gear. It's the most ridiculous poster I've ever seen in my life. And there's like a rhino. I think if I remember correctly, there's a rhino horn next to him. It's ridiculous, and my friends and I would just laugh at it. And I don't know if people still have that around anywhere, but that's one of the most ridiculous images I've ever seen. So if you get a chance to look it up, Michael,
that's the first thing I'm going to do after this show.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Google. And
it's
check
Rhino, and he's got the mustache. It's just it's the weirdest thing I've ever. It doesn't even look like him. It's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
What would I Google, Nick? Rhino porno mustache?
Yeah, Rhino porno mustache might do that. No, you don't want to do that. You're going to get all kinds of bad things that you don't want. Don't use the word porno when you Google. That would be my. 773 area code says, I have 5 Walter Payton 1-ounce silver dollar coins.
So many Walter Payton calls.
I know.
This is great. I love it. Now, when it talk these coins, it's not just Walter Payton coins, any coins. These were mass produced. I know a lot of them say limited edition or souvenir, but they were made in the 90s, the 2000s, and they don't really have much value, even for a complete set.
Yeah.
Maybe 15, 20 about.
See, the thing about, and we've talked about this every time you come on, is that the more modern stuff is mass produced, and that brings the value way down, correct?
Way, way down.
Yeah.
A lot of times something will say limited edition of 1,000, but guess what? Once they sell out of 1,000, they reproduce them again.
Yeah.
Limited edition now of 500, and it just goes on and on until people aren't buying them anymore.
Yeah, and that's true of like some of the more modern, you know, like the baseball cards too.
All of them.
They're all like mass produced at this point.
Yes, by the billions.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Michael, hang on, okay? We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got a little bit more with Michael Osaki. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And also get you through 2 for Tuesday requests in as well. We're going to break and come back after this. Yeah. My favorite. Yeah. So my favorite team, sports team song right there, as I mentioned before. Here come the Hawks. We have a Blackhawks Express recapping last night's unfortunate loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs in OT. We'll play that a little bit later on. But right now, Michael Osaki joins me. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN, and we're talking about sports memorabilia and appraisal and all that cool stuff. Here's a question for you, Michael. So you know that every time there's, you know, like a game that's going to that's going to, you know, crown a new champion of whatever. They make up, they'll do memorabilia, T-shirts and hats and stuff like that. So, for instance, let's just say, for instance, someone has World Series champion Cleveland Indians for 2016. Do those things ever get out? Because they're in the locker rooms, they're ready to go, they've got the champagne and they've got all the stuff ready to go. Does any of that stuff ever get out?
Very rarely. Yeah. What happens to all that stuff is...
They destroy it, right?
No. They package it up and they send it to third world countries for use, like Haiti, Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
One time, though, years ago, I got a call from a woman. She had, it was the mid-1990s, an Atlanta Braves. So the Braves went to the World Series like all the time in the 90s.
And they were in the playoffs in the World Series every perennial.
Yes, yeah. And they lost.
I know, and I hated the Braves at that time.
John Smoltz, Greg Maddux.
Ted Turner and Jane Fonda in the crowd doing the tomahawk chop. I used to want to put my foot through the TV.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And so she said, how much is this T-shirt worth? And I was like, oh, my God, I've never seen one of these before. Like,
yeah.
No one has.
Yeah.
I told her it's actually can be quite valuable, but you have to find the right person who would be interested because it's kind of meaningless.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I always wondered about that. Like, what are they, you know, like, because last year was Game 7, man. So they had to have all the stuff ready in both locker rooms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The and champagne,
so
yeah.
The champagne and then the hats and the T-shirts and all that stuff. And then that stuff, I would imagine, I'm assuming that there's got to be people who are working in the stadium who are going to snatch some of that stuff. You know what I mean? Like when the game's over, you know somebody's got some Indians paraphernalia, World Series 2016.
From what I understand, that used to be the case years ago, but I understand that now they keep a tight lid on it.
And security.
Yeah. They have major league officials making sure no one snatches a hat or a T-shirt off the top.
I don't know. I always there was always a question, you know, that popped up. Okay, let's see. We've got 815 area code says, are there replicas of the Cracker Jack cards, and how does one know the difference between originals and replicas?
Tons of replicas from the 1990s of Cracker Jack baseball cards. Usually, you can just look at the sheen on the card. If it's glossy, it's a newer card from the 90s. If the corners are very sharp, if it looks brand new, it's probably from the 90s. If it doesn't have any Cracker Jack stains on it, it's probably from the 90s.
Yeah. I mean, you probably can tell if something's from the 90s and 1915.
I
think it would be kind of obvious, right?
For me, it's very obvious, but also on the reprints on the back, it usually says, like, manufactured in 1994.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. 331 area code sends in the text that says, I have a mint set of four prints from the Bears 1985 Super Bowl. It was a WGN and Sears promotion. I don't know the exact size offhand, but they are large and reflect four different special moments from four different games on their way to victory. Would they be worth anything?
What's Sears? I've never heard of this company. Bad joke, sorry.
Yeah.
These prints, I actually, to be honest, I'm unfamiliar, but if you take a picture and email me, michael@baseballintheattic.com, I'll take a look for you.
Okay. We'll get to a couple more texts and stuff here, but you're heading up to upstate New York in November, correct?
Yeah, early November. I'll be in Albany and Utica and Syracuse. I have a speaking engagement. I do a lot of speaking engagements, but this one is in Utica. And then I have a couple of private appraisals I'm doing with people that have large collections in New York as well.
Now, do people get a hold of you a lot to have their collections appraised? Is that something that you do? You travel around and do that?
A lot, yes. Yeah. A lot of people need it for insurance purposes or estate planning purposes. Also, recently, divorce. And I actually, for me, going back the past 10 years, divorce season is kind of coming. I can always tell
divorce season?
Yes. Because I get calls in January after the holidays saying, you know, my husband or soon-to-be ex is a big collector and I need to know how much this is worth.
Well, I got divorced twice, both in the spring. Okay. So I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe it was something... Okay, interesting. All right, okay. Let's see. And Bob in Northbrook says, I have 15 still in the wrapper 3D All-Star baseball cards from 1974 and 75 that came out of Kellogg's cereal boxes with names like Munson, Blue, Brett, Kingman.
Yeah, Kellogg's in the 70s had a set of cards every year in the 70s. The 1974 version doesn't really have much value. You're only looking at a dollar or two a piece. The most valuable Kellogg's are from 1971.
Why is that specifically 1971? Do you,
you
know?
I don't know, but it just is.
Yeah.
It just is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember those cards from the Kellogg's from the. I mean, I grew up in the 70s, so that's I used to have a bunch of that stuff. Jimbo says I have an Olympic rookie card of Mark McGuire.
1985 Olympic Mark McGuire. That used to be an extremely valuable card, Nick, back in the day, but now because of steroids, it's essentially rendered valueless, maybe $10.
Okay. Wow. That used to be worth a lot of money?
Yeah.
How often does that happen when something at one point is worth a ton of money and then it's not worth it anymore? Does that happen a lot?
You know, in the modern day, yes, because people get injured. But that's why, like, collecting vintage, like Mickey Mantle, it's not going to come out that, you know.
Yeah, he didn't do steroids.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's the Mark McGuire thing is this the steroids thing.
Sammy Sosa, same thing,
yeah. Okay, here's one. I don't know what to say here, but this is what it says. 847 area code says, I have a Go-Go White Sox urinal block. It looks like a hockey puck. That laid in the urinal from the last day at the old stadium. It's used. Current value?
You've got to be kidding.
He's got a urinal cake, a Go-Go White Sox urinal cake.
Well, 59 for the White Sox was a fantastic year. I mean, everyone remembers 59 Go-Go White Sox. My question to this person is, why do you have it? Why do you have a used urinal cake? This is the best call ever.
This is the weirdest question we've ever posed here. Let's see. 630 area, could I have one of the movie prop Babe Ruth baseballs used in the Sandlot movie? Does it have any value? Well, this is a movie memorabilia question, actually.
Yeah, Babe was in several movies back in the day.
This was from the movie The Sandlot with the kids playing. Oh. So it's just a baseball, one of the balls, Babe Ruth balls from the movie.
Oh, no, $5.
Yeah, that's not going to be worth a lot. And then finally, I have a first edition of Arnold Palmer's golf book signed by Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, Arnold Palmer's signature is very easy. Unfortunately, you're only looking at probably $40-$45. He signed for everybody.
Okay.
It's not that rare.
All right. And make sure you have some lemonade and iced tea when you go in to have
that
signed.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, tell everybody, sometimes you throw out your phone number so people can get some appraisals if they couldn't get through.
Yeah, if people want to call me for the next hour, I'll be up 312-379-9090, 312-379-9090, or email me, michael@baseballintheattic.com.
Okay, great. Michael, always a pleasure, and we'll talk to you at the beginning of another sports season, just
Sounds
a little while.
Great. I look
okay,
forward
buddy.
To it.
All right, take care. There's Michael Osaki, everybody. BaseballOnTheAttic.com. News is next.